drink it in, man. Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! 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 Drink it in, man. Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Drink it in, drink it in, drink it in,
It's done.
Connor McDavid, it's not real.
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers. The picks are in. The draft is complete. Drink it in, everybody. Drink it in, man. Side of cornbread.
Cornbread.
Make it a double.
Cornbread.
We got so much to talk about. The Lions dominated not only the draft, the city of Detroit dominated top to bottom. Incredible weekend, incredible things going on with this football team. I got my co-host, the one and only, at Chops and the D here to talk all about it. Chops, you're there. You saw it go down. We did lots of live audio. You had lots of things going on in your life. I was a busy man in the DTO scouting office. We made it through. We're here to talk all about it. How you doing, buddy?
Oakery, what a great week of football, of draft, of Detroit love, of serving the Kool-Aid. Oakery, I feel like we recorded like over 8 hours of content, like, I don't know, 4 days ago. But still, we got more to give today on this week's edition of the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. So let's go!
Let's go. We can't mess around. And there's really no way to go about it other than just work our way through the list. So like you said, me and you, we hit record about 7:30, 7:45, whatever it was on Thursday. We're talking it through. We're laughing at teams like the Falcons and who knows, you know, what the Raiders are always doing or some of these other bumsky teams. We're giving our predictions. We're kind of looking at our board. As it gets lower, we're thinking, man, who can go to the Lions at 29? And sure enough, man, this board was like all offense, like no defenders going off the board. It's getting close. We're sitting there talking about what corner they should take. What about an edge rusher? Maybe this big defensive tackle, you know, going through the list. And then sure enough, Brad Holmes jumps up to number 24. He can't help himself. He's got to get up. And the reason he had to trade up was because Terrion Arnold was still on the board. Most people's top corner. I know most people are like, oh, Quinion Mitchell. It's like it was pretty much even. The Lions needed a corner. You heard me time after time say, you better get a corner early in these million mock drafts I've been doing. It took me about a half second, the minute they traded up, say, Jobs, I'm taking Terrion Arnold. And then you were very pragmatic with your response and gave much more context where you said, I'm taking Terrion Arnold as well, and gave good thoughts as to why. I couldn't love this pick more, this player, the value, the trade up, the position, the fit on the field, off the field, his interview once he got picked. I mean, there was just nothing not to love about Terrion Arnold, corner from Alabama, going to the Detroit Lions at number 24 overall.
Okri, the draft could not have fallen any better in the favor of the Lions. The first 14 picks off the board, all offense. Quarterback, 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 wide receiver, tackle, wide receiver, on and on and on. We're just like, yes, yes, yes. Let those defenders fall to the Lions. Every pick, every ridiculous pick, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, every ridiculous pick is just another player down on the board for our Lions to snag. And yeah, you're right. Holmes was working the phone. He was doing some Holmes cooking. He was ready to go. Quinn and Mitchell went off the board at 22 to the Eagles. And he said, nope, not going to let it happen. I'm going to get my guy, Terrion Arnold, cornerback, Alabama, the consensus number one corner in the 2024 draft. According to almost every single poll, somehow, some way, at pick 24 goes to the Lions. And what does he do? He comes out on the stage in his crispy silver and pink suit and tie, looking good, looking fly. He walks right up to the mic. He snatches that mic from the reporter and goes, I'm home. I'm home. Look at this, baby. Talking to the crowd, just like drinking it in, living it up. I saw some live audio footage from like a copter when they announced the pick, and the roar from the 750,000 people in Detroit just screaming and yelling, Terrion Arnold at number 24 is a Detroit Lion. Woo-wee! It doesn't get any better than that, folks.
I'm glad you did the live version, because I was going to hit you with that drop. But I think, just to sum it up, what you're saying and what all the people were saying and what I'm saying is simply this.
Woo! Hashtag choppy liking.
Exactly what we're saying.
Does that get a hashtag from you?
Oh, that gets a hashtag choppy likey and so much more. We're going to throw all the gimmicks out today. I mean, we've already got like six or seven of them. Check the box, ding the bell, do what you got to do. But yeah, man, what a great, great week for our Detroit Lions. And that was just day one. Just day one.
Chops, I may or may not have yelled out, he's looking swaglicious the minute they put the camera on Terrion Arnold in the pink suit, the shades, just $1 million smile, just like Jahmyr Gibbs, who, in case you didn't know, is a multidimensional, positionless, elite weapon. And now we got a guy on defense that has those same qualities. So absolutely incredible. Now, we got to keep this thing rolling because we got five other tremendous draft picks by Brad Holmes and company to talk about. And we're picking at 61, kind of low in the second round. You know, we're watching the board fall. There's lots of good players in round two, as there always are. We're getting closer to our pick. We're like, man, look at all these good players. Who should we take? We're going through the scenarios. You know, we're talking about different players. You know, you're considering defenders. Then I kind of talked you into wide receiver, Troy Franklin, who was falling because he looked like the best available. You know, I did what was prudent for me. I stuck to my board. We'll get to our picks in rapid fire later. I went with an edge rusher at that point, but Brad Holmes and company said, we're going to straight up double dip on corners. We're taking a guy that a lot of people mocked to the Lions at 29. Lots of people had going in the early second round. He falls all the way to 61. Enos Rakestraw Jr., cornerback from Mizzou. This guy's nasty. He tackles. He can play the ball. He's not scared. He's a tone setter. He's Detroit. He's everything you look for. And to have both these players in one draft, I mean, not only set you up for now, but in the future, in case of injury, in case one of the two DAWGs doesn't come along as quickly as the others. Oh, by the way, you got the Carlton just sitting there waiting. I mean, you know that, Chops. You absolutely know the Carlton's there. You got a Meek sitting there. You've got other ball players that may or may not have went off their face mask and maybe cost us the NFC Championship still in the mix. I mean, so many corners finally that can actually cover a coffee table. We should be good to not get roasted, toasted, and extra crispy every single game moving forward. I'm excited about it, if you can't tell. I feel like this was another great pick. Would have been the way I went. Not necessarily, but we did like the name. We liked his mentality. You liked this even a little bit more than I did. But you cannot go wrong with a double dip at corner as bad as we've been at that position for years and years.
Okri, when they were live, I think it was when Buffalo was live on the clock and we knew the pick was coming in, I go, Brad Holmes went double up on corner here, would he? And, you know, we both talked through it. We both kind of said, no, we wouldn't do it. But, you know, we didn't think it would. And what does Brad Holmes do? Of course, Brad Holmes doubles up on corner here because it was the biggest need. He used our third round pick to get the Carlton. He got a free agent in Amik Robertson. Of course, he uses the number one pick to get Terrion Arnold. And what does he do? He just goes ahead and uses the most valuable asset that he's got left in the tank right there to draft another corner. The guy that I had personally on every mock draft in the second round that I did not take a corner in the first round. Rakestraw was the guy that I took at 61 every single time. I love this player. I love everything about him. He's just a dog. He's going to jam you on the line. The dude is a baller. So I loved this pick. And the more and more I think about it, like, I am so excited that we went corner because it just played out well, man. He was the highest ranked player on most of our boards. I did my life pick. I did go with Troy Franklin only because I had taken Terrion Arnold on the first pick. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to double up on corner. I'm going to go wide receiver. And so I went Troy Franklin, which I'm still happy with that pick too. I like that player, but man, Rakestraw is going to be a beast. And this line, this weakness of last years past is going to be a strength now, and it is set and ready to go. The depth chart is looking fantastic in the secondary right now with the Carlton, with Iffy, with Kirby Joseph, with Terrion Arnold, Brian Branch, Rakestraw, Robertson. Oh my gosh, Mosley, on and on and on. We've got 5 to 6 solid corners. We got safety depth. We got versatility on that line. It's going to be amazing. We'll talk about this other guy that we threw in here who might be a safety, might be a running back. Hell, maybe we'll just make him a backup quarterback too. Who knows? But we'll get into that player later. But no, man, Brad Holmes just took care of business, used the first 3 picks in his draft and his arsenal to address corners, one being via trade. So love it, love it, love it.
Forgot one thing when you were going down that list of players that play in the secondary. You mentioned a guy, number 32, and you just kind of said his name. You forgot to say, my boy, Brian Branch. There you go.
I was going rapid fire. I didn't have time for gimmicks. It was lingering on. So thanks for handling the gimmick infringement for me.
But I know you think he's your boy, but he's really my – but he's our boy. He's our boy, Brian Branch. There you go. I'm with you on all that. Like, we don't have audio proof of this, and nobody wants to hear us second guess Brad Holmes. We're not going to do that. But if I did have my audio live of this third pick, which the Lions, after they picked at 61, had to wait till like 160 something, yet Brad Holmes decided to trade up 40 some spots, 30 some, whatever it was. He gave up a future third round pick. I'm sitting here like thinking we got another round and a half to go. Next thing I know, we're on the clock. I think you're on the roadways with your family at this point. I'm sitting here, I'm like, I got so many names of people I want. You know, like, this is just unbelievable. And the name that comes off the card is Giovanni Manu, offensive tackle, British Columbia. This guy's not, he doesn't have a profile. He's not ranked. If anyone watched our Google sheet, we had over 500 players ranked via different services and default. He's nowhere to be found. Chops, he's the first player throughout the draft that wasn't ranked, wasn't available on our drop-down menu. I can't say I was happy. I thought this was craziness. I was flipping out. I was upset. I was sending you explicative messages. How could this happen? Other people were hitting me up. And all I'll say, like, after the fact is that what we've always said, Brad Holmes knows better than us. Once I see a picture of Giovanni Manu, once I see that he's 6'7", 350, and chiseled, once I see he's Tongan, once I see that he is an absolute monster on the football field and can grow, like, of course there's so many things to like about it. I just still think this is a player that's going to have to grow, prove it, show me on the field before I totally go with it, but Brad Holmes is cooking. We'll let him do his thing. But this one threw me for a loop, and I'm excited now more than I was, but I'm also still skeptical based on the value, the player not being found anywhere, being from British Columbia, Canada. But dang, he has a lot of good things to look for on the surface, and I hope so bad that he ends up being an absolute brawler, mauler, either at offensive tackle or guard or wherever they want to play this beast.
So this was a pick, Okri, where it was actually okay for us to go, huh? Who? Because he was nowhere on our board. Nowhere. You know, I'm like, Giovanni Manu? I'm like, dude, we've done a lot of draft work. A lot of draft work prepping for this. And I'm like, I don't have a I didn't have, you know, I happened to be in the car when the pick was made. But I'm like, I have never seen this name on anything that I have done. PFF doesn't have him. I don't have, there's no ranking that's got this guy. And by the way, we also traded a future third round pick for him. So we basically used two picks to get Giovanni Manu. And you know what? This is a pick where I just go, all right, Brad Holmes, I trust you. I got no, my initial take is WTF, but I trust Brad Holmes, and I just got to accept the fact that you probably, most definitely, absolutely know more than I do. So, Brad Holmes keeps receipts, so I got to watch what I say, and I know he listens to the show. He listens to the show. You know he listens to the show, right? Okay. He listens to the show. So, but all I'm saying is this dude cost you a third and a fourth. So, I hope he's something, because he cost you two picks. So, until then, I'm not, you know, it's funny because I'm seeing all these things. Oh, my consensus board was so close, and the Lions got so much value. I'm like, yeah, where was Giovanni Manu on your consensus board? And how many points did that tick off for Brad Holmes? Because it wasn't even the top 500. So you took him at 126. So go ahead and give yourself the negative, 380 there. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Look, the dude looks like he's going to play the part. I've heard rumor innuendo he may want to be guard, you know, shifted to a guard. I'm curious to see where he's going to go. But 6'8", 350, I watched a highlight of him, and he is literally blocking two men, one with each hand at the same time. And he looks like he looks like the video where, like, you know, the adult puts his hand on the little kid on his head, and the little kid's, like, swinging and punching at him, like, and you can't touch him. He's doing that to two grown men in college on a football field. So hilarious video. But dude, if this guy can become anything and be a solid tackle or guard, then tip your cap to Brad Holmes and say, good job, buddy. You knew more than I knew, which isn't that hard. And but it's good stuff.
Chops, I have exclusive audio. You don't even know this yet, but you're about to. I have exclusive audio of your reactions when this pick was actually made. Are you ready for this?
Oh God, yes.
Who is this Rudy Poo?
I have more exclusive audio of your reaction after you read up and once you saw that video of him absolutely punking small Canadian children. You ready for this?
Send it away.
Oh, hell yeah!
There you go. There you go. That's pretty much all Lions fans, the two reactions when they heard the selection. I mean, even Frank Ribble and company, their reaction started something like this.
What is your name?
But then it actually did matter what his name was. And then once they saw the video, Frank had other thoughts.
Wow! 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 Wow!
So kind of polar opposites, but we really hope he balls. I know that we are easy to say, Brad Holmes knows all, but oh my goodness, what a swing for the fences. Oh wait, that's the sport we shall not speak of. What a big time gutsy move by our GM. He looks the part. He loves Penei Sewell. Could you imagine him and Penei on the right side? Doesn't even matter who's on the left at that point. We'll just maul people. Chops, we got to keep this thing rolling. Pick 132, I believe it was. The Lions were not slated again to pick for a long, long time. Next thing I knew, about six picks later, they're back on the clock again. For who? A guy we heard his name a lot. He was a safety. We heard he might be a running back. We hear he's a special teamer. He might return punts. He might return kicks. He might run gadget plays. He might run slot receiver. We don't know really what he's going to do, but he was announced as running back Sione Vaki from Utah. This was another one that had me a little bit fired up. I'm not going to lie, because I'm taking a receiver with that last pick of Manu. I'm getting my boy Mahogany. We'll talk about him later. And they went ahead and took Vaki here, who we knew they loved. They had done a lot of work on. They brought in for meetings and whatnot. But what was your thoughts when you heard this one? And now that you sort of looked into the player, what do you think about that pick there?
Yeah, a lot of buzz around this guy. I think most people, like, you know, he was there in mock drafts. And again, this is why it's so funny, because you just never know what you're going to get. The NFL mock drafts, you know, they're fun, they're exciting, but you never know. This dude was available in every single mock I did in the sixth round. So, you know, let it be known, whatever. Like, he, you know, we took him in the fourth. So I like this player, but again, I always just get a little nervous when you're talking about a guy that plays multiple positions in college. Like, is it really going to translate to the NFL? They announced him as a running back. You know, the Lions official Twitter came out and said, no, just kidding. He's not a, they actually put safety in there. No, just kidding. He's a running back. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, it sounds like it's going to be him and Netflix Craig battling out for the 3-4 spot. But, you know, the guy's got good film. He's got obviously got ball skills as a running back. You know, they ran him out. Brad Holmes talking about it. This guy's pro day is actually pretty sweet. So he comes out and he does his pro day as a safety. And then they put him through the pro day as a running back. And then he actually goes out and does a workout on special teams. And then Brad Holmes said he goes out and does a wide receiver workout to end it. And he's like, the dude, you could tell he was gassed, but he was just powering through. And to watch him do four workouts at four different positions, Brad Holmes was clearly impressed and thought this guy was worth trading up again to get. So I'm curious to see how they're going to utilize this guy. It is nice to have a couple utility guys that you can put on the roster. He only takes up one spot, but he can be, you know, a jack of all trades if it really works out. He can do that on the pro level. So that's, you know, that's roster manipulation there. You get three for the price of one or two for the price of one on special teams, running back, and secondary if needed. So very curious to see what this guy can do at the NFL level.
It'll be very interesting. It's, I guess, the biggest thing, too, with these last two picks while we keep this thing rolling is, like, the hardest thing to predict, and it's same for the PFFs and all these people that are out putting out their rankings is – it really comes down to what's going on in the NFL circles, man. I bet there were like a handful of teams that had, you know, Giovanni Manu sort of circled, and it was who's going to get him first and what were you willing to pay and do to get him. Vaki, same thing. He was like a lower ranked safety, but there's probably a couple handfuls of teams that were somewhat interested, and just depended how much you wanted him. And this happens every year in the draft where guys go two rounds before they're quote-unquote supposed to, or a guy drops three rounds later than Mel Kiper had him. I mean, we don't know, and I think that Brad Holmes has a good pulse for what he needs to do and when. The only thing I'd say is this consistent trade-up, giving up future assets, and you're getting your guys, but at what price? And then they just have to pan out. Like, if both these guys pan out, we don't care what you really paid for them, and we're so happy you moved up. If they're kind of, Broderick Martin has been up till now, you're kind of still like hoping and waiting for them to be good so that then the pick makes sense and what you gave up. But we'll see. They're football players. They're, you know, Manu, the other thing I just want to say before we keep it rolling, you can't teach the size this guy has. It's elite. It's special. It's the type of thing I have learned with the draft that you bet on is like height, weight, speed, very unique skills in different areas. You can bet on that, and most of the time it will, you know, somewhat pan out for you because your coaches can't teach him how to be bigger, faster, stronger. That just is what it is. So the Lions kind of waited around till the sixth there, and they ended up taking Wingo. He's interior defensive lineman from LSU. This was a guy that I think we both kind of took defensive tackles with this pick, just different names. And this guy's got great leadership, good stats. I mean, seems like a powerful, productive player with a great mindset. So I really had no issues with this based on the value, the player, and especially the leadership wearing the 18 at LSU and just being a guy that everybody seems to be on board with from a character perspective. The only knock I heard about him is he's a little bit smaller. But if he can get after the quarterback and be good in the locker room, I'm not worried about that at all.
Yeah, to get Wingo with pick 189, when I think he was a consensus top, 120 player, again, you know, consensus ranking, but I think everything that I saw had him at least in the top 125. So for him to get, 189, be there is great, great value. Like you said, you and I both went defensive tackle. We recognized that need. We picked different names. Let me see here. I jumped in with Christian Boyd from Northern Iowa. You came in with Tyler Davis from Clemson. Again, shocked that Tyler Davis was still there too, by the way. So it was a nice sneaky pickup by you, guy ranked in the top 100. But, look, Wingo, I've seen some good film on him as well. I think he's going to be a guy that is going to jump into the rotation pretty quickly, and we're going to see where he, where he fits. So, you've got that D tackle position, man, you got Reeder, McNeil, Levi Onsrike, you got Broderick Martin, throw Wingo in the mix. There's a lot of rotational bodies there. And it's going to be, I'm going to be curious to see, you've got some players that you're coming up on years 2 and 3 on Brad Holmes picks, and you're going to have to figure out if these guys are going to make it or if they're going to fall off. I'm looking at you, Levi Onsrike, and maybe Broderick Martin as well. So I actually saw a 53-man roster projection, which, of course, is way too early, but it had Levi Onsrike on the outside looking in. And another great value pick in the sixth round. And after we get into this other sixth round pick, I want to bring something up here, just a different way to look at the draft before we go to break here, because again, we're going to go a little long today, people, but this is draft week, post draft show, so we got to get into it.
Chaps, we got to get into everything. We know this was going to be a little bit of a longer first segment, probably a longer show. You're giving great takes. I'm going long-winded because I love the draft so much. The only beef I have with you is you continually are skipping out on gimmicks, on nicknames. I mean, you mentioned my guy Levi, and you don't call him by his government, which is Big Denim. I think he might live up to that nickname this year. He's looking like he's been in that weight room. That back isn't so crispy as it used to be. I'm expecting some nice things from him. So here's the thing, too, as we kind of go down this draft, I had some haters hitting me up. I don't mean to be rude, but looks like your picks aren't so hot because my guys weren't going like the pick after or whatever it may be. Like, there's a guy that went at 210. I think I took him there high in the fourth round. It's pretty much where everybody else had him on the quote-unquote consensus board. Big, nasty, interior offensive lineman from Boston College, Christian Mahogany. Again, I said I don't really care where they go or when. They're good football players, and Brad Holmes agreed because he took this guy 2+ rounds later with his final selection. Called him a nasty dirtbag, said he's a tough guy from Jersey, and I think he's going to be interesting to grow and bring along and use as needed with this football team. So, again, of course, we're going to get excited when we see names that we're used to or that we want or that we think are good, but this just seemed like incredible value, a great way to end the draft, picking up a guy that most people wanted 2 rounds earlier, not just me. and a guy that's nasty, that's physical. You got a big old imposing offensive line tackle guard. You got another guard. You got other guys in the pipeline. You got a good starters already. So he did what a lot of you want him to do, which was beef up that O-line while having a good O-line already and not sacrificing corner and other positions that we needed to. So nice way to end it. Love Mahogany as a player, and it was just a great way to cap it off.
You and I both took Christian Mahogany in with our picks in the first round, our first pick in the fourth round. And again, this guy was consensus ranked early third round player, 72. This guy was anywhere from 72. I saw some as early as 60, like late second round ranking. So to get him with pick 210 is insane. It's totally insane. I don't know how this guy fell. I don't know. You know, I know that, you know, the knock was, well, there's some medical. Okay. And I heard some report. The guy's left leg is significantly longer than his right leg. And I'm like, is this for real? Like, is this really a take here? Like, okay, whatever. Dude, Christian Mahogany, 6'3", 335. Like, I think he was a 3 or 4 year starter at Boston College. And again, he scored a touchdown in college, and he did an amazing celebration with the keg stand, Sally. Love it. Anybody who got into that is going to, you know, he's going to be a stone cold Dan Campbell fan. And I think this may have been the steal of the draft if you're talking about positional value versus ranking versus where he went, because I think this guy fits our dog mentality. He fits exactly what we need on the offensive line, where if Glasgow gets hurt, if Zeitler gets hurt, if we got to shuffle people around, this guy can jump in and he can do it in the guard position. So I am jacked about Mahogany from Boston College.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
So, Chops, those are the picks, man. I think Brad Holmes does it again where, like, he gets you excited, he kind of makes you mad, and then he gets you excited again, and then you look at the draft at the end, you're like, I got to not only trust this guy, I love what he did. I mean, this is a tremendous draft class based on needs, which I know he says he doesn't look at, talent, value, positions, depth, elite. Wait, hold on. Elite! Size, strength, ability for certain players. I mean, you just look at this thing as a whole and you love it. So, have you had much time to dive into the UDFAs, or is that, should we do that for another time, or what do you think?
Let's save that for another time, Oakley, because we're already at the 30-minute mark and there's like 13 of them. So I have dived into them a little bit, but I do want to say something here before we cut to commercial break. And I know we have to quick here. We've got to get our great sponsors in, but I will encourage the people. Don't focus on the number in front of the guy's name and what he is. Don't focus on, he went with the 24th pick. Oh, he went with the 23rd. You know, don't look at that. Okay. Just look at the names, and you can put them in whatever order you want. Rank them however you deem necessary. Okay. Tarion Arnold, Ennis, Rakeshaw, Christian, Mahogany, Wingo, Vaki, Manu. Okay, that's probably the consensus ranking with those six dudes. Yeah, he took them in a different order, but if you're telling me that's the haul, then you can't, if you are disappointed with that haul, then you just don't know what's going on with this organization and what's going on with this team, because you just listed guys that have rankings and grades that fit higher than what we actually expected them to go. Tarion Arnold at 24 when the dude was a consensus top 10 pick. Steele, Ennis Rakeshaw. I keep saying Shaw, but it's Straw. Rakeshaw, dude, was ranked way higher than 61, and you would have been happy with that pick if you didn't go corner in the first round, like most of you did, okay? Yes, Manu, maybe he was a six-round grade, but shuffle it around. I'm happy with this haul, all right? So, again, Chris, getting third and fourth round talent in the sixth round more than makes up for those two names in the fourth round who you think don't belong there. So, you know, I see a lot of – I just can't understand this Twitter hate that comes out to Brad Holmes when he's proven it time and time again. And I like what my boy at Logan Lamrandier, L. Lamrandier, said today. Like, he's going to grade these picks based on his value chart, but he still trusts Brad Holmes. Okay. So I love this. I love this haul. I love these players. I'm ready for the season to start. Can rookies report to camp already, Oakley? Let's get some pads on and hit something.
Hey, Beetle, what do you think about that take and that diatribe from at Chops in the D?
Yeah, I understand. I got it in my head, dude.
Beetle, before we go to break, what do you think Manu might do to opposing defenders?
They can't handle me. They ain't tough enough. I'll put him down to his knees, buddy.
Thanks, Beetle. Everybody, let's get our great sponsors in when we come back. I mean, gosh, we got so much more to do. We're going to quickly break down our additional thoughts. We'll give you our rapid fire picks who we took on the clock. If you didn't check out that exclusive Detroit Kool-Aid Cast draft spectacular audio that's out there, you need to do that. Give more love and respect to Brad. What's that nickname again, Chops?
Always open for business, Holmes.
He was open for business, wheeling and dealing, selecting and loving it while wearing crazy swag all weekend. We'll talk about that. And then we'll end with the 2024 rookie expectations, how they fit, and how about what do the Lions do from here? Who do they add? How do they even beef this team up even more to go win a Super Bowl in 2024. Everybody, drink that in. Listen to our sponsors. We'll be right back with more Detroit Kool-Aid Cast right after this. All right, everybody. This goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You can put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you it's the best thing about Reality Sports Online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Kool-Aid drinkers, we're back. Thank you so much for listening to those sponsors. Really helps out the show. Really appreciate the support. All the loyal, diehard Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers, you guys all know who you are out there. Special shout out to Stash and the ATL, the Tuna, Santa, Frank Ribble. Gosh, I could just go down the list of all the people that either shout us out, donate to the show, help this show keep rolling. Love the gimmicks, the takes, the opinions, all the stuff that we try to do here. So appreciate you, brothers.
Brother.
Gosh, we got so much to get into. I guess, Chops, like, I kind of did it off the top, but I think we got to get back into it. And we can't really do it without a little bit of music in the background, because the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast, GM'd by Derek Oakery, made his picks, and we loved up Brad Holmes on his selections, but let's go rapid fire on the Oakery picks. Just as a reminder for the people, I do this live as it happens. I only know what I know. I only have the boards that I have. I'm not a GM. I don't get paid like one. Maybe I should, though. Because with the 24th pick, I selected Terrion Arnold, Alabama. came back at 61 and took my boy Jonah Ellis, defensive end edge rusher from Utah. Yeah, he's 6'2", he's 248, but he's got a nasty spin move. I even put film on again after we did not take him to make sure I remember what I watched. And this guy, he's got a hutch spin. He kills quarterbacks. He's a hard worker. He's, gosh, he got everything I look for. So I love that pick, even though I like Rake Straw as well. At 126, give me the guy we talked about, Christian Mahogany, big nasty interior player from BC. At 132, when they jumped back up, I didn't have much time, but there was one guy that was kind of staring, at least what I knew about him, and I'll take Jerry Rice's son all day right there. 5'11", 201, 76 player overall on our general rankings. Brendan Rice, give me another weapon for Jared Goff, because you know he needs it. 189, give me Tyler Davis, a top 100 player, 6'2", 301, a penetrating interior tackle from a school like Clemson. And at 210, give me Frank Ragnow's predecessor, his incumbent, his next of kin, Bo Limmer, center from Arkansas, 6'5", 302, another nearly top 100 player. You could season him for a year or two. They're both from the same school. They're similar sizes. They make great calls at the line. He could have been the next center if Frank really is hanging it up. I think he would have taught him everything he knew. Those are the Oakry picks. I feel great from 1 to 6. I love also what Brad Holmes did. Choppy, do you want to go rapid fire on the Choppy picks?
Yeah, Oakry, I'll actually go rapid fire on the picks. I won't stretch it out too long. I'm going to beat out this draft clock that we got going here. So on the pick for 124, the Choppy Maki took Terrion Arnold. Pick 61, Troy Franklin, wide receiver, Oregon, who is calling. 126, Christian Mahogany, who we've talked about already. Brad Holmes decided to get him later, which was great. Pick 132, I took Gabe Murphy, UCLA edge. 6'2", 247. With pick 189, it went Christian Boyd, Northern Iowa D tackle, a guy in the middle to just stuff up the middle with our boys, aka. And at 210, I took Miles Harden, South Dakota cornerback, to double up on corner and pair him up with Terry Arnold and lock down the secondary of the future for the Detroit Lions.
Well, Choppy, I didn't have it up earlier, so I cut my takes a little bit short. But you know when we run the music, you have to try to time it out with the music. So you got about another buck and a half left. Do you want to use it, or do you want me to use the minute and a half to kind of dissect what you did and then give myself more love on what I did? What do you want to do? We got about a minute and some change left. What do you want to do?
No one wants to hear you rip up my picks, because they know when you look back at the clock and you see what was what from year after year after year, they look and see, yep, Choppy knows what he's talking about. They're going to hashtag it. It's going to be what hashtag what Choppy said. It's going to be followed by a hashtag Choppy Likey, and on and on and on. So no one wants to hear your takes on my picks. Maybe they want to hear your takes on Brad Holmes.
Well, I beg to differ, because I still got about 45 seconds left and I'm looking at your picks. Gabriel Murphy, your boy, didn't even get drafted. Christian Boyd was a guy that I heard a lot of buzz about, but that one surprised me. He kind of reached maybe worse than Holmes for Manu did. And then you took this guy Miles Harden, and with 210, I never even heard of the guy. He'll be working at the bowling alley shining shoes before you know it. Troy Franklin, who you took at 61, didn't go to like the mid-fourth. So you did tremendous at 24 by taking Terrion Arnold. Chops, you, the people, everybody knows that the Choppy picks can't keep up with the Oakry picks. I mean, I'm the superior GM on the show. All my picks were great value. They made sense. I filled needs. I did everything I needed to do. I mean, it's not even close, is it? And even if you think it's close, there's only like 4 seconds left on the music, so you can't even fight me on it. Let's freaking go. That's how you do it, right on the music, Choppy. That's how it's done.
All right. Here's your golf clap, Oakry.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And like you say, we're not going to you know, it's not about our picks, but that is like the most fun exercise we do, because it's like our fantasy drafts, where that's the only time you can prove it is when it's rookie draft time in fantasy, or when your snake draft comes and you really got to make good value. Our only time to show our actual NFL draft, you know, knowledge and who's better and who we would have got is when you make them live on the clock before the Lions pick. No rumor innuendo, no hearsay, no wait 2 years and say, oh, I would have loved this player who's now a Pro Bowler who you didn't even have at the time, but now you say is good. So that's the only way to do it, man. Do it up live, do it before, put your name on it, and let it roll. So another fun year of live picks, and like you say, we can't hide from it because we were live on the microphones in rounds 1, 2, and 3. So it is what it is.
Yep, good stuff, good stuff. Always fun to go back and look and say, oh man, where's that guy? I took him in the second and third round. Oh, well, oh, nope, he's doing nothing right now. But a la, you know, Damani Brown, who you took in 2021 in the third round. Anyway, I'm not going to point out any of the other bad ones that either of us have done. So we can play Monday morning quarterback in 3 years and see who did better. But always a fun time. It's the best time of the year when they're not playing football. And just super excited to see what these guys can do. And man, Ogre, so much draft content to talk about, man. Where do we go from here?
There is a lot to get into. I mean, we hit on so much in the first segment. I think it's just circling back a little bit to this whole Brad Holmes love fest. But also, like, it's a little bit of a dilemma for me. Like, there's just so much love for this guy that the minute you even begin to say, I'm not quite sure, or maybe could have waited, or what about this? Like, you just get attacked by folks. And, like, I don't know what to do, because like I said, I think you said it earlier, I don't want to be on his receipts list. I don't want to get called out. He's definitely a listener to the show. I mean, most of the time when I say, hey, go get this free agent, like a day or two later, it's coming across the old Adam Schefter Twitter X machine that he goes and signs a guy. So, you know, he's out there, he's listening, he's taking notes. We're obviously taking notes from him of how to draft and how to look at players and all that. But it is kind of a dichotomy, because there's just so much love and he's done so well that there's like almost no room for evaluation, which is, that's what we're here to do, is give our opinions, give takes, and try to project what's going to happen. So.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, you know, I see a lot of collective, you know, high grades for, you know, picks 1 and 2 and 5 and 6, not so great grades for picks 4 and 3, just based on what we gave up to get them, you know, additional picks, trade ups, that kind of stuff. Everybody's got their own little system, but the bottom line is, you know, I'm looking at the depth charts here, and we were a one win away from the Super Bowl, Oakley. So I'm not expecting to draft like 4 immediate starters, but I'm telling you, if I can draft like 1 immediate starter and like 4 guys in the wings that are chomping at the bit that can get in there and play and push the guys that are the starters, I mean, that's good stuff. So I think it's probably a good segment to, you know, move right into depth charts and kind of where these guys fit with our lines.
Well, that's a good segue by you, but I want to hit you with this, Choppy. Like, if me and you were actual GMs and we were drafting and we were bringing these kids in for meetings and seeing them in person and doing the interviews and doing the one-on-ones and bringing them in the facility, do you think that would really, like, sway you at an ultimately high level? Like, hey, I like this guy. I saw him. I had him ranked here. But once I met him and I see what a hard worker, I meet his family, I see how much he loves ball. Like, do you think that you'd fall in love with certain players? Because I feel like Brad Holmes definitely falls in love with players. But the nice part is he falls in love with the right players so far, you know, for the most part. And it's a new strategy, I think, to take guys that love ball, that are good character guys, that fit with the other guys we already have, rather than this guy runs real fast, this guy had a great college career, this guy is a fancy toy for on offense, but he just doesn't do anything else, and he's up in the suite eating chicken wings like Mike Williams was when I went to a game way back in the day. You know, it's like, would that be heavy on you, or do you think you'd be more pragmatic where you'd be like, I'm going to stick to my analytics, I'm going to stick to my rankings, or do you think you'd meet somebody like, that's my guy?
Look, these interviews have a huge impact, Okri. I mean, you know, we get the hindsight of watching some of these like interviews and breakdowns, and man, I get a kid that comes out on the field and he tells me, you know, I compare myself to this player and the things that I do, and I, you know, and this is why, you know, I have these intangibles. Or they get up here and, hey, they put up a clip of him in college. Hey, what? Tell me what you were thinking here. What's going on? Oh yeah, so I came up here. I'm going to cover the A gap and then I'm going to snap here. But like, clearly there's going to be an intellectual level that I'm curious on when you talk to these players. You know, is it like, hey, run the deep route, run the go route. Oh, yeah, yes, coach, go. Like, you know, or is it like, dude, I understand this, and this is why I made this cut here. And, you know, I'm fascinated by that part of the game. And I think it would be really, really cool to be in the room with Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell when that stuff's going on. And again, then, like you said, you get to know their, you know, the personal side, like their families, like, you know, again, Terrion Arnold comes out, huge shout out to his mom during the combine. And he's like, you know, he's talking about his faith and his mom and the tough times in Tallahassee and all this stuff. Like, yeah, man, you fall in love with these guys. Like you start to get a spot in your heart for them. And oh, by the way, they're also dogs on the field. So that helps too. I mean, the analytics are great. You know, I'm a big stat guy, but listen, the guy might have amazing college stats, but if he is not going to work hard or he's, you know, not that smart, I would shy away from him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the same is that's the big missing piece that, yeah, we kind of have guys in areas and buckets or whatever, but the minute you met some of these guys, you'd move them up, you'd take guys out and it, you know, right away once you met them. So I think that and the medical is obviously what we're missing, but that seems to be Brad Holmes' biggest strength to me, is just being able to meet the players, dissect the guys, and then sort of, this is a lion, this is a guy I have to have. I'm not willing to walk out of round four without this guy. And until he is totally wrong on any of that, or just has a guy that has, you know, a terrible character issue. And yes, I guess you can say Cam Sutton, you know, is kind of a miss on that when it comes to bringing him in, paying him, and seeing what he did allegedly, and how that worked out. That'd be the one that you could point to. But everything else has been spot on. And yeah, I do think it would impact a lot when it comes to who moves up and down the board. And like you say, we just love to see what those vertical and horizontal boards look like, the names they have on there, how they have them ranked. And sometimes I do think he kind of maneuvers his way around saying, well, these are my top dudes, or this was the guy at the time. It's like, I can't imagine some of these players were really like the third best guy on their board. But when it came around with all the factors, it was the one that made the most sense, and they just went with them. So who will ever know, because we'll never see those, but it's very intriguing. You're right.
Yeah, two things, you know, one, I would say, you know, Cam Sutton obviously wasn't a Detroit draft pick. So, you know, obviously you talk to these guys in free agency, you see them on a pro level, but you get to really get intimate with these college players, especially when you bring them in for your top 30 interviews. And the second thing I would say is it still is mind-boggling to me that you have these, you know, NFL insiders who know these guys and actually get to talk to them and actually get to break down film and actually get to interview them and do all this stuff. And they still have them ranked at like, you know, 40, 50, 60, and then they don't get drafted at all, or they don't get drafted till the seventh round or whatever. Like, so I find it quite comical that we have zero access to players, zero. Okay. And all these, you know, NFL insiders have lots of access to players, and even they don't get it right. So it's pretty funny when we sit here and we make our live picks and we joke, yeah, I would have taken that guy, or hey, I did take this guy, or whatever, with zero insider knowledge, or at least zero insider access to players. I shouldn't say insider knowledge, because we both know people within different organizations. But it is funny that even the pros miss. And, you know, these people who are supposed to get, you know, who get paid to know, they miss. So, which I think he brings up another great point, you know, and this is, you know, again, getting back to Brad Holmes. So the dude just hits on picks, man. Like every year, if he's got anywhere from 6 to 7 picks, he's getting guys 2 and 3 years later, 4, 5, 6 players he takes each year that are still on the roster, starting and impacting the team. So, man, nobody hits 100% of the time. And so, you know, if you look back and you go, oh, wow, you know, Wingo really didn't work out, or, oh, man, you know, Manu was just a total project and it never – if he hits on Terrion Arnold, Rakestraw, Mahogany, and Vaki run in the NFL draft.
It's – yeah, it's so intriguing on so many levels, but we could talk about it for days. I guess the only other thing I want to ask you quickly is, are you a proponent of how salty Brad Holmes gets with the local media? He really seems to be having fun calling him out all the time for questioning him, talking about positional value, which he said he didn't even know what that was until like recently. And then he went on a big diatribe about it, which I somewhat praised him for, and then also dissected on the old Twitter machine. Or do you think he should just like take his players, be confident, but maybe not come out so brazenly about it? I mean, I don't know what I thought about the hoodies and the Dan Campbell jerseys. I mean, the coolest part, I guess, is the outside the box thinking. Like all the schmucks we had before would always be like, oh, like we all have to wear suits every day. We have to look this way and talk this way and be so secretive. Like everything is an FBI investigation about every question, about every player, about everything we do. And this regime is like, hey, man, we wear sweats to work. We do our job. We do it well. We have fun. We have swagger. We have moxie. And like, it comes out in the picks, the players, the way they play, the way they operate. And at the end of the day, they just do their stuff well. So I don't care if you have a 3-piece on or a Nike sweatsuit. What does Brad Holmes wear? The North Face vests every other day. I mean, it is what it is. He's just doing his thing, being comfortable in his skin and going to work. So I like that part a lot.
Okri, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell could walk into a press conference in a Speedo thong, dropping F-bombs every other word and ragging on the media as much as they want, as long as they're winning and bringing me championships. I don't care. They want Dan, you know, Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell. Brad Holmes wants to keep his receipts. He wants to call out the media members. Good. I don't care. We're 1 win away from the Super Bowl last year. Next year, you know, again, just don't let it catch up to you. Don't come in getting, you know, snarky, and then, you know, the team's on the downswing. But as long as we are projecting up and up and up and competing, which I expect that we will be, by the way, I don't care if Dan freaking Campbell walks into a press conference wearing nothing but a Bush Light hat in a strategically placed area with a beer in his hand. Win, just win, baby, just win.
Oh man, exactly. It's such a different vibe with these cats, especially Brad Holmes, and like everybody online and otherwise is bowing to this man, and just he can do no wrong, which is great, because for our whole lifetimes, all we've seen is mistakes and things bumbled up and bad football teams and hope that never came to fruition. And here we are drinking Kool-Aid, double sides of cornbread, and getting great players, great values, building great teams, good now, good in the future, all that good stuff. So, Chops, you wanted to circle back to depth charts and whatnot. Like, when I was looking at these players, man, like, I mean, again, it's very intriguing how the cornerback depth chart's going to shake out, but you got lots of nice depth there, which seemed to be the one of the weaker spots heading into this draft. You got kind of very unique and I don't even know how to describe it, like kind of a exceptional depth, I would say, on the O-line at this point, both at tackle, interior, center, however you want to split it up. And then you're looking around for other holes and you're like, did they really need to get a receiver, or can they just go get a free agent? Hey, did you really need an edge rusher, or is there another vet out there that might do you better than some random rookie? Like, I think the depth chart overall is setting up really nice, where he went into the draft saying, I can just do whatever I want. And I feel like he's coming out of the draft going, I can either do whatever I want, or I could do nothing and we could play tomorrow and we'd be good to go.
Yeah, Okri, you're looking at this the depth chart, man. There's like very little like areas that need to be addressed at this point. Again, the only, in, you know, again, people will battle this, but the only projected starter that was needed for this draft is Terrion Arnold. So he fits into that right cornerback. Okay. And he's going to line up across from, you know, again, the Carlton. So of course now, you know, Rakestra could battle and push, you know, whether that's, he pushes, Mosley, or he pushes with Amik Robertson, like, and again, then you got Brian Branch, my boy Brian Branch, with all the versatility, who can be juggled all around there too. So, you know, that the secondary is on lockdown, man, and it's got depth now, which is fantastic. And I'm not seeing any holes. I mean, I saw something today. Well, do you think that the Lions should go out and sign, you know, Tannehill to back up Jared Goff? Because if something happens, I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Why do I want to go spend $8 million on Ryan Tannehill to go back up Jared Goff? Like, but again, up and down the line, man. Like, wide receiver, we got depth. You got DPJ. You got, you know, Antoine Green still in the fold. You got Tom Kennedy still shuffling around there, the preseason Superboy. And I like our O-line depth now with Mahogany and Manu in the mix. The defensive line, look, like, Wingo is like the third depth chart. I mean, that's, everything else is locked. Hutch, McNeil, Reeder, Davenport, Kaminsky, Levi, Pascal, you know, Broderick Martin, James Houston. Like, bro, the, like, where do we have needs? I don't see any needs on this team right now. None.
I love it when you start kind of looking at this depth. We know there's going to be injuries. We know there's going to be little things here and there that happen, but they do have a lot of bodies in the trenches, which is what we've always wanted. They've got nice skill players, which is always fun to watch. They've got intriguing defenders that can get after the football finally and turn it over. There is one guy at wide receiver that I might be intrigued by, Choppy. You know him. Go DJ. What if he comes with a coupon, comes here for like half of what he made before, and maybe actually stays healthy for once? I wouldn't mind it.
I mean, look, you're the Donovan Peoples-Jones slappy from the last four seasons. I can't believe you want to bring back DJ Chark to overtake DPJ. Like, if he's so good, if he's as good as everybody, if he's in the Hall of Fame like you put him in there, why do you want to knock him down the depth chart? All right, you got Amon-Ra, Khalif Raymond Khalif, hashtag JMO Fash, DPJ, or as I like to call him, Dope Jones. And then you want to throw in DJ Chark there too? Like, I don't see it necessary. Unless, again, injuries happen, but man, I'm happy with that four right there.
He's not overtaking DPJ. He's just adding another DJ. That's my DJ. DJ,
that's my DJ. I mean, look, yeah. I love the drop, but I don't see it necessary to be, unless you're bringing in like a real game changer that's going to knock down Khalif Raymond, and you're just going to go, you know what? Hey, T. Higgins, come on down. We're going to pair you up with Amon-Ra and hashtag JMO Fast, and then we're going to put T. Higgins across from him. Then make that move. But other than that, I'm good with what we got.
Chops, I was like disappointed with your first Amon-Ra, but then you like really redeemed yourself. It's still, you know, not quite as swaggy as this. Amon-Ra. But can you please do for me one thing? Can you please do a D-Monty in combination with T. Higgins for the people?
Oh, so like a D. T.
And the people consist of the millions.
That's for you, people. I mean, the millions and millions.
The guy's name is T, so you just got T and just bring it out there. You know?
Yes, it was a variation of another gimmick into another gimmick, and then you comboed the gimmicks into one gimmick sandwich that just made me laugh. So,
hey, I got knocked for not having enough gimmicks in the first half, so I'm really trying to up my ante.
I know you moved up your moved up your quota quite a bit. I'll give you a few bells there. So let's end it with those rookie expectations. Like Terrion Arnold, you sound like you expect him to start from day one and be a CB1 on this football team. That's your expectation?
Yep.
Yep. I think that is the case. I do think that we have enough other ball players where he just, if he earns it, great. If he doesn't, he can just slot in at 2, 3, 4, whatever he ends up slotting and work his way up to that starting spot. Rakestraw to me is a kid who, gosh, I would expect like a Meek Robertson to probably be above him day one of training camp, but I would think Rakestraw would kind of, he's going to pop in like training camp, preseason. You know, he's going to lay the lumber to people. He's going to become a fan favorite pretty quick. But I'm not saying he's got to be ultra impactful from day one, but I think he'll be a very nice player and with starting capabilities. What are your expectations for Manu year one? I know everyone's saying, oh, year 2, 3, he might do something. Like, he kind of has to do something year one. What would you put on him in regards to development or what you might see from
him? I mean, it's tricky because I just don't know. Like, is he a tackle? Is he a guard? Like, you know, he's a project player. So, and I don't know. I can't put any expectations on him for year one because dude doesn't even know American football, by the way. Like, he's got a, I mean, again, you said you can't coach size, but you can't, you know, but he's got to learn the American game. They got to understand if he's going to line up better on the left side, on the right side, as a tackle, as a guard. Like, he isn't going to be holding people by the helmet and not letting them get by with one hand each in the NFL. I'm sorry. It's not happening. So, you know, I don't have any expectations of him, and that's probably a cop-out, but I don't know what to expect. If you tell me, like, oh, man, he's really lining up great, he's doing the left guard, and blah, 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 he's going to fill in if Graham gets hurt, like, okay, cool, I love it. You know, putting him on next to Decker, oh, baby, you're locked down. But I just don't know how that's going to work out. You know, honestly, this is probably bad and probably not what they're thinking, but I have higher expectations of Christian Mahogany only because I had him graded as a high, late second round, early third round. Like, I expect that guy to jump in when Kevin Zeitler or Graham Glasgow needs a break. So my expectations on Christian Mahogany are much higher than on Manu and while he learns the NFL game.
Chappy, can I interest you in reporting eligible Giovanni Manu, 6'7", 350 plus?
Baby.
Hold on, we could do better than that. Reporting eligible, Manu.
Oh, baby!
I think that could happen. I also think he'll get a lot of snaps against Hutch and company in practice, which would be really good for him. Yeah, gosh,
great, good stuff. The second team always lines up against the first team offense too, which is awesome. So they'll find out right away where that guy fits. Is he going to be able to get any kind of body on Davenport, Reader, Hutch, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, AKA, and see what he can do. So,
hey, Manu, let me just warn you.
Unleash Hutch.
It's going to be ugly for you those first few snaps when 97 gets after you. I'm just letting you know now.
Yes, sir.
You know, just rapid fire to me, it's, you know, Vaki is a special team ace from day one, both covering but also returning. I see him maybe overtaking, come on, Craig, you know, in that whole thing. Wingo to me is a rotational rusher with some upside and a future leader of that, you know, interior or that defense in general, depending on how productive he is. And then, like you said, Mahogany to me is better than Sorsdahl right now, as long as his personality and things fit in with the team. And if an injury happens, I'm plugging him in. I feel like he's a right guard more so than the other side. He played a little bit of the other side, but more right guard. But like I said, I saw an interview with Manu, and they said he was told that they project him as a right guard right next to Penne on the right side. So it sounds like they don't plan on moving Penne or Manu to the left. They're just going to load up that right side and either extend Decker or figure out another left tackle is what that's the rumor and innuendo I've heard so far. Obviously that can change, but that's kind of where I'm at with expectations. Yep.
Yeah, not to cut in there, but if Manu like start really fits in well on that right side and they actually can get him into a tackle position, can you imagine in a year switching Penne over to the left and putting Manu on the right and just letting those big nasty freaks push people around? Like, dang, that's exciting.
I think that's best case scenario, to be honest. But that's, like I said, straight out of Manu's mouth. He said he was told by our O-line coach that they see him as a right guard. And yeah, everyone thinks Penne is going to flip, but I mean, if those guys are just rolling on the right side, you could probably find a guy to play the left and be rolling as well. I mean, I think it'd be this for defenses. Just get the Undertaker gong out for anybody trying to come up against those big nasties. But Choppy Chop, we've went long. I'm letting the Undertaker music just keep playing because we just got such nasty beasts on the old line. We've talked about the picks. We've talked about expectations. We've talked about depth charts. We went into our picks, which obviously I dominated you on. We said we'll talk about UDFAs another day. Our team's loaded from top to bottom. We had a hell of a draft. We took players that can ball day one. We took upside future players. We took football players with Vaki. We took captains and leaders like Mingo or why am I calling Wingo? Wingo, not Mingo. That's going to have to be a drop of some sort. It's not Wingo, it's Mingo. It's not Mingo, it's Wingo, something like that. But Chop's just so much more to get into. Obviously, we can do that on future shows. But I know everybody's hype. Obviously, here on the Kool-Aid cast, we give it to them like nobody else does. We try to play into the gimmicks, the takes. We're going to hype up our football team. And we just love it that all the loyal diehard fans, man, they drink it in and enjoy.
Drink it in,
man. Good stuff, man. Again, we have so much more content. We gotta end the show and move on. But people, listen. Oh, we have so much good stuff to talk about week after week after week until the rookies report. Before you know it, it's gonna be training camp. Before you know, the schedule's gonna get released. We got the crispy new jerseys up. We got the draft in Detroit that just rocked it, broke records left and right, and we got a team that's ready to go to the Super Bowl.
Woo! Oh, he did it again, everybody. Always closes the show. 775,000 people, just nearly three quarters of a million in Detroit for the NFL Draft 2024. Green Bay, you ain't even going to touch that. Don't even try with your cheddar heads, your mozzarella sticks, whatever else you got going there. This is the football capital right now. We got the funnest football team in the league. They're young. They're hungry. Like Penne said, I want the big boy and I want it now. He's talking about the Lombardi, the Super Bowl. We're loaded. We're ready. The season can't get here soon enough. So, everybody, that's what we got. Talking all things NFL draft. You know, we're coming back to you with more content. Still got all types of things this offseason. Dollars make sense. We're going to do all other types of gimmick shows. And before you know it, we'll be doing a training camp show because they'll be there in pads, ready to roll for the 2024 season. So, everybody, that's what we got. We'll catch you next time right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid cast. Take care, everybody. We're out.
Them Bama boys gonna eat.
Pack the bag, start the plane. This game is over. It is over. What a comeback by the Lions.
Drink it in, man.